Financial Matters.
With Dr. Frank Magwegwe, and indeed asking you to just take some time and reflect and remember some of the advice, some of the principles that you may have learned from these conversations, and perhaps how you are going to apply them. I think that's going to be the important thing. How are you going to apply some of the principles that you've learned? But also, as we move into 2023, how do we connect the realities of this time and what we've learned? So please give us a call, 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. Dr. Frank Magwegwe, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Aubrey. Good evening to you, wonderful 702 and Cape Talk listeners. What a wonderful conversation we're going to have today, because reflecting is quite important.
Indeed.
You know, to achieve our goals, one of the things we need to do is that rear view.
Yes.
What went right?
Yes.
What went wrong? What were the obstacles?
Yeah.
What can I do differently? What should I do more of? What should I stop doing? So really an opportunity just to reflect helps with that. But it also does something very interesting, Bra Aubrey.
Yeah.
Also, when we reflect and we see things that we did well, it fills us with gratitude.
Sure.
You know, amongst the many things that we may sense are not going well, we are grateful for the small things that are going well, the small achievement, the small wins, you can think of them as that.
Yeah.
So really reflecting is very important.
Yeah.
Not only regarding financial matters, just where are you going with life? What are you thinking about what you want to achieve? Are you moving in the right direction?
Yeah.
Are you doing actions to get you there?
Tell
so that's
me,
kind of our theme today.
What is for you the biggest thought or principle that comes into mind just on the conversations that you and I have had?
Yes, yeah.
That you would like to perhaps emphasize a little more.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start getting calls on that basis.
Yes.
But what are some of the principles that you would want to remind our listeners on? Yeah.
I think for me, if I look back to our conversations, the things that stand out for me, the first one is really this idea that to move forward from where you are, you need to take stock of exactly where you are. I know, bro, it sounds silly, but that idea of what is my current reality? And we spend a lot of time on this show talking, introducing to you listeners, asking you to grapple with some of the psychological aspects of what we do with money and what we do in life generally. One of the hardest things to do in life is just to take stock of where you are. And you know why, Bra Aubrey? Because when we take stock, more often than not, what happens, there's a sense of judgment, because we may find we are not where we want to be. So we don't even want to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I told you stories of people who say, why should I get a credit report? I know how bad it is. I don't even want to look at it. So for me, the idea of be brave, be vulnerable, take stock of where you are. What's happening in your life regarding goals you have set for yourself? That is a strong foundation of moving forward. It's almost like probably you walk into a room. It's dark. What do we do first? Either we have our hands on the wall looking for the switch so that we can put some light in there.
Yeah.
It's exactly this. Or you trying to find the torch on your phone.
Yeah.
For me, that's, I'm taking reality into account. Kumnyama, it's dark here.
Yeah.
I need a bit of light. That's very important. But as you know, on this show, we also want to be honest with our listeners. It's one of those things that are hard to do in life, because it often involves judging yourself. I'm not doing well here. I could have done better here. Sometimes it even involves regrets as well, which are all negative emotions.
Yeah. Just as a side thought,
yeah.
Dr. Frank, it's becoming more and more apparent to me that anything worthwhile, anything worth talking about, anything worth achieving, is not easy.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I want to, from the onset, disabuse ourselves of the idea that any of the things that we're talking about here are easy. Yeah,
exactly.
They may be simple, but they are not easy.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
They may be simple in terms of principle, but perhaps not so easy to apply, because we've got different circumstances. We have different degrees of the understanding of these principles. We've got different degrees of the availability of options to exercise those those principles. So it's very, very important that perhaps right at the onset, we start off by acknowledging that Absolutely. These issues yeah. are not easy. They may be simple principles, yes. but they are not easy to apply. So for me, I remember having a conversation with you, which made me realize that it's actually not so much about how much money you earn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because very often in the process of trying to extricate ourselves from the shame and the judgment that we sometimes put ourselves Correct. On that you've just described, is that we look for excuses to Yes. try and protect ourselves, which is understandable and perhaps natural, right?
Yes, correct.
But one of the things that you said at one point, and I'm paraphrasing, was that it's not so much about how much you earn. It's about what you do with what you earn.
That's
and we made reference
true.
To your history, yeah. to your background and so forth, that it's not so much about how much you earn. It's what you do with what you earn. Talk to us a little bit about
and that. And
that
links so beautifully, Obri, with the idea that you just introduced. That's also my second big really learning from our time together here. The idea that it's simple ideas, but they are difficult. Just to mention one.
Yeah.
Spend less than you earn.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be in this
yes.
over indebtedness that many working South Africans experience if we were to put in practice that simple principle. Spend less than you earn. It is very, very difficult. And so it brings us to what you are introducing, the idea that we shouldn't delay. I will start looking well after my money when I'm earning 5,000 a month, 10,000 a month, 30,000 a month. It's really about applying these simple principles to the little that you have. Why does that matter? Because you are building habits. That's the most important thing. That habit, for example, of spending less than you earn, or the habit of checking your credit report,
yeah.
or the habit of checking your bank statement all the time. You know, we do have those fraudulent yes. Debit orders.
Yeah.
Just that habit of checking.
Yeah.
So you can really see it's about doing these simple things well. That sets you on the journey to good financial well-being.
Give us a call on 011-883-0702. We're having a reflective conversation with Dr. Frank Magwegwe about some of the principles, some of the ideas that we've learned. We've already established that these are not easy things to do because of the various circumstances and contexts we find ourselves in. But the principles themselves are quite simple.
They're quite simple.
And the challenge becomes the application. So we want to, from the onset, please, you know, don't send me Twitter messages, but that's not easy. We know that.
We know that.
We understand that. But there was a movie many, many years ago. You might remember it, Dr. Frank. That had a title called Who Dares Wins.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're asking you to dare.
Absolutely.
To apply these principles and see if they are not scientifically certain
yeah.
to change your financial trajectory if you actually apply them.
Yeah.
011-883-0702, spend less than what you earn. You know, I told you about my friend.
Yes.
He enjoys konka.
And he's spending on the credit card. Because he spends more than he earns.
He enjoys konka. And he told me that he enjoys our conversations about credit.
Yeah.
That was a big conversation that we had about credit and how we can be part of that system.
Absolutely.
Can we go back just a little bit, Dr. Frank, about credit and then, of course, the tools for the using of credit cards and so forth. Yeah. What is credit?
Yeah. And that's one of those powerful questions because it really makes you sit back and realize when we're talking about credit, we're really talking about the idea of accessing money that doesn't belong to us.
Yeah.
That's really a simple definition of it. We are saying, I need money to buy a house, to buy a car, to pay school fees, for example. But I don't have this money. So I need to go to someone who's got it. And that someone can be a big institution is our big banks and financial services provider, but it can also be Makelwane. We know you can go to your neighbor and, you know, get some money from them. So it's this idea that somehow you don't have enough. Therefore, you need to go and say to someone, please, can you give me some money? And I will give it back. And often people say, well, you will give it back to me, but I'm going to want you to give me more than I gave you, that idea of interest.
Yeah.
And of course, that whole big world, Bra Obrin, is so important to think about at the beginning of the year, because it talks about that whole idea of a credit history, of paying well, of what types of debt do we have? Are you paying on time? How much is credit card? How much is a personal loan? How much is a car loan? How much is a home loan? You know, all the, but you're almost being introduced into this big club where if you behave well, we will give you more. And often we as consumers struggle with that as well. You pay well, and what does the bank do? They say, thank you, you're paying so well, we're increasing that limit, yeah, you know, on the credit card.
Yeah,
so that's a big world to move into, yeah, 2023, really, yeah, thinking about how do I manage credit?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I thought about when we spoke about credit cards earlier on, and just, yeah, during the holidays, yeah, and it's a fun idea, maybe, you know, because I do a lot of research around money and personal, yeah, finance. I just thought, Bra Obrin, and you answer, you're going to be my guinea pig. You're going to,
right,
see this idea. Tell me, Bra Obrin, if these cards called credit cards were called debt cards, do you think people would use them? Because effectively, you owe money, it's a debt. If they were marketed as debt cards, this is a card where, you know, it reminds you all the time how much you owe someone.
You know,
come and get a new debt card,
you know,
a gold debt card, a platinum debt, yeah, card.
I understand where your question is going. I'm just not sure whether people would care. I'm just not sure whether people, yeah, would care whether or not it's called a debt card or, yeah, not. Depending on whether they will still have the benefits that continue,
yeah, yeah,
or that come from that arrangement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here we've got what we call debit cards.
Yes. Right?
And it, correct, sounds like debt cards.
Yes.
But hey, we don't care. We still, how many people understand that smoking is wrong, yes, for your body?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what, for whatever benefit they get, they continue to smoke.
Yeah.
How many times do we know that something is not necessarily good for us, but we continue to do that? My sense, Dr. Frank,
yeah,
is that people, or the benefit of anything,
yeah,
or the perceived benefit of anything, overrides whatever logical understanding, yeah, of the dangers of that thing, yeah, that may lurk in that relationship, yeah, right? So I don't think that the sheer changing of the name, yeah, would have much of an impact.
Yeah.
But I do think that it would perhaps start making people think a little harder.
Yes.
I
give you 100%.
To say that, you know, I've got this card. It's actually a debt
when
card.
When I'm swiping.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm using money that I don't have.
Yes.
And therefore, if I don't pay in full at the end of the month,
yes,
I'm actually building debt.
Yes.
Just a little bit of that awareness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me a call. Would you change your...
your habits.
Would you decide not to use a credit card if you understood that it was a debt card? Give me a call. Another thing, yeah, that came up in the conversations, yes, we've had, Dr. Frank, was the whole idea of good debt and bad,
absolutely,
debt. Remember that, yes, conversation?
Yeah.
There are purists out, yeah, there who say, listen, I don't want any debt.
Correct.
Right? And I suppose there are people that can achieve that do live, yeah, that life. It's,
yeah,
it's very possible.
Yeah.
But I remember you making the suggestion that there is good debt,
absolutely,
and bad debt,
yeah,
when we were discussing the whole issue of credit and so forth.
And that understanding is so important, Bra Obrin.
Yeah.
Because we often make mistakes where, because sometimes we just say, I don't want debt. We make mistakes such as the common one that I see. Someone just saying, any additional money that I get, I am putting it into my car loan, for example, so that I reduce it. But often when you get towards the end, say, for example, we did a 60 months. By the way, you are at month 36, you're getting to month 42, you're now paying more the original money that you borrowed and yes. less of the interest.
Yes.
So often it doesn't make sense to have this big goal of saying, I'm going to, you know, often people say, I'm going to squash the debt. I don't want any debt. So when you say, I have debt that is associated with an asset like a house, I don't have to rush. Yes, I'm paying interest, but it's not necessarily comparable to just a personal loan that I got and went to Konga or went to, or you know, on a holiday. Yeah. So it's very important to say with a car, you know, there's an asset, with a house, there's an asset associated with it. So unless you really have this negative attitude towards debt, you need to have this idea of thinking, what's good, what's bad. And anyway, most of us, we're not able to buy a car for cash and to buy a house for cash. So that is necessary debt. And by the way, you know from credit reports, Bra Aubrey, if you want to have the life of no debt at all, what does it mean? You have no credit history.
And therefore, you can't be part of that club.
You can't be part of the club. You can't get a loan to get a house. They don't know how well you pay.
Yeah.
You can't get a loan to get a car. They don't know how well you pay.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
you may struggle to get a credit card without a history.
011-883-0702. We're talking about some of the principles that Dr. Frank Magwegwe and I have discussed over the last few months around personal finance and the psychology that is associated with that. And one of the things that's becoming abundantly clear to me is that it is about the choices that you make.
Yeah.
And the choices that you make are informed by what level of knowledge you have.
Yes.
So in other words, how much education around finance that we have. If you were to rate South Africa as a country out of 10, in terms of the level of financial education generally, what do you think?
We're at about 4 out of 10, Bra Aubrey. Yeah. And I'm not making it up. There is a report that's done by the Human Sciences Research Council.
Yep.
There's one done also by the Financial Sector Conduct Authority where they ask 5 basic questions around financial literacy. Give you one of them. People are asked, Bra Aubrey, you put 100 rand in a bank account today. If the interest rate on that bank account is 5%, how much money would be in your account at the end of 1 year? It's questions like that, right? To sort of check if you understand how interest rates work, how inflation works.
Yes.
So those questions, and they are global set of questions that are used for financial education and financial literacy. We are about 4. So 4 in 10 South Africans get those questions right. So we very low levels of financial literacy.
And of course, that doesn't mean that every South African would get 4 out
correct.
Of 10. Some of us would get 0 out of 10.
Some people some 10 of
us
out of 10.
Some of us would get 10
that's
out of 10.
Average.
Sure, but as a median, as an average, you're saying to
about
me,
4 out of 10, 4. So very low. And that makes us susceptible to a number of things. Number one, when you really don't understand how, for example, interest work, Bra Aubrey, you are susceptible to scams. When someone says, Bra Aubrey, I'm going to give you 1% per week. Because you don't quite understand, 1% per week is very difficult to achieve.
Yeah.
You jump in and before you know it, you're a triple M.
Yeah.
Because it just looks doable.
Yeah.
And of course, you know these scams that come with it. It's Bitcoin, property. You know, there are a lot of scams. Part of it is to do with low levels of financial literacy. So it's important for every individual to just make an effort to improve. And that's what our show does. You know, your general level. Of course, the other benefit of financial education is that you start developing good habits, such as pay yourself first. In other words, you get your money in the bank account, you take some money, you save it before you spend, for example. You spend less than you earn. You protect what you have through things like short-term insurance, for example. That all comes from knowledge. And you know, Bra Aubrey, when someone like me and you, when we talk about it, our listeners, I'm sure they sit back and Chris here and say, yo, these guys, they just kind of arrived in this world knowing this.
Hey.
Not, we didn't know this.
We made mistakes.
So we must remind also our listeners at the beginning of the year.
I would want to. I think if some of our listeners knew what we've been through,
the disasters,
Dr. Frank,
the crying, the pain. Look at Aubrey. He's bringing memories. Look at him.
No. Please.
Don't go there.
Do not put yourself in that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
If you came into the studio, the three of us that are sitting here in the studio, Brakris, Dr. Frank, myself, and you could quantify them, the financial mistakes that we made here, there would be an earthquake in the studio. There would be an earthquake. So no, Dr. Frank,
and
I think you make a very big case.
We are saying it because we are highlighting beginning of the year. And we are saying to our Cape Talk listeners and our 702 listeners, you need to start by committing just to improve your general knowledge around your finances, around how interest rate works, around how shares and build on. And you know, probably when I just think about where we all have been, I just have a vivid memory. Practice 1998, I work at Liberty Life in Bramfontein and I earn 42,000 rand a year. And first person to get a degree in my house, extended family. Hey, I'm just helping
this one is educated. This one,
I have 50,000 debt, practice. I earn 42,000. I am struggling. I'm newlywed. Hey, I said to my wife, we can't balance. And I'm just having, I'm going to have to do it. He says, do what? Take my bank card. Take my ID book. And go 10,000 rand.
Yeah.
I have been there. And all I'm saying is we can commit to say, I want to improve. I want to learn more. How do you work yourself out of a garnishing order, out of a judgment, you know, out of a very bad situation, such as even being in debt counseling. So beginning of the year is a really good time to say, those who seem to know it, Aubrey, Chris, Frank, that thing, they all have stories to tell.
Hey,
they all started somewhere. So be that person.
What you're saying, before I go straight to the lines, I see Treasures in Pretoria and Carmoise in Bryanston. I'm going to take your calls now. What you're saying is that don't believe that it is impossible.
Absolutely. That's it.
You're saying that it is possible to get out of the precarious financial position that you are in now.
Yeah.
It is possible.
Yeah.
And in fact, to thrive.
It is what you're saying.
It might take
but
long.
But you've got to be patient and stick with it.
That it is possible. Because here's the thing, Dr. Frank, that I worry about sometimes is the idea sometimes that is so well entrenched in many of our minds. You're finished. If that was true, I'd be finished 5-10 times.
Me?
I'd be so
Sim. Cool.
So I think it's very, very important what you're saying there, Dr. Frank, that it is possible.
Yeah.
We are testament of that reality, that it is possible to live within your means, to thrive, even under the most testing conditions.
Absolutely.
But it is going to depend on how and how consistently you apply some of the principles that we're talking
about.
Simple,
right? But hard to apply.
Let's talk to some of our listeners on 011-883-0702. Would love to hear from you as Dr. Frank and I reflect on some of the conversations we've had in the past year. Treasure is in Pretoria. What a beautiful name. Treasure.
I was going to say the same. Beautiful name.
Yeah, hi, Treasure.
How's it going?
Wonderful, Treasure. What is on your mind?
So, first off, just a comment on the last point you made there. Yes, it's possible to live within your means. If you can't increase your means.
Yeah.
I'm coming from my own office right now. The reason I'm calling is, I think we've got a slight policy issue in South Africa, right? Because, yes, you can change your credit card to debt card. Great idea, you know, for the normal man on the street. But the banks, they're meant to take money and lend it out. There's a whole bunch of other investors, and it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Now, these ideas are great, and our, you know, state representatives, you know, your different financial institutions that are supposed to be looking after our needs and best interests, they also benefit in some way from a maybe broader economic perspective on how the banks work and how they lend out money.
Yeah.
Great idea. And there's a whole bunch of other things that are literally swept underneath. Like, you know, look at your statement, what's there? You'll be blown out. But these guys survive on these things.
Yeah.
Great ideas, but can we implement them? That's the sad part.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, Treasure, what you're underscoring is that very same issue that Dr. Frank and I were talking about, that some of these ideas are simple but not easy.
Yes.
And that, I think, is the difficult part, you know, because we've all got different contexts, different priorities, different issues, different learning, different levels of literacy and education around these issues. So these things are great ideas, as you say, simple great ideas. It's the implementation part that becomes a bit of a challenge. So Treasure, we keep fighting the good fight, my brother.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of implementation, right, one of the research papers I've had to do at UCT back in the day as part of my degree was really, like, I was thinking robo-advisors, you know, this automated bot, etc. And as I'm busy reading over and over, it turns out you might be financially literate but not have the time to actually apply that knowledge. So, like, when do you start winning, right?
Treasure, thanks very much, my brother. We really appreciate the call. Yes, much appreciated. Guys. Thank you so much. Kamu is in Midrand. Hi, Kamu.
Kamu, how are you doing?
Very good, thanks. Good Kamu, what's Kamu. On your mind?
Doctor, yeah. I've been listening to your guys' show for quite some time, and I don't know, maybe I have missed the show that you guys had done about taxation. But I'm really interested in personal, what do you call those tax submissions. I'm actually a tax delinquent, and I would have loved to know whether there is a place where I can learn to do those tax submissions, what goes into preparing for those submissions, what they require. Do I keep all my slips for my gas, for my pick and pay runs, and so on and so forth? Have you guys done a show like this before?
No. No, we haven't, Kamu. We haven't done a show on taxation. And let me promise that as soon as I come back from leave, I'm going to go on leave next week. That is definitely a priority for us to talk a little bit about taxation. And then as we go along, bring on some experts on taxation, VAT returns, and all of those kinds of things.
Pay as you earn
and all the... Definitely coming up as part of the conversation. But the simple answer to your question is no, we have not done a conversation on tax yet.
Excellent. Looking forward to it, gentlemen.
All right. Kamu in Midrand. Much appreciated. Doc, your thoughts about what both Treasure and Kamu have said?
Yeah, I'm going to start with Kamu. I think Kamu is onto something here because, you know, SARS is getting more and more, what's the word, strict around delayed returns, penalties,
compliance.
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Compliance, auto assessments, depending on how complex your tax fares are. So really we're getting to, you know, that stage where it's important for you to understand if your affairs are simple, auto assessment, you go online, you accept it, and you're done. If not, you know, the penalties can be quite harsh. So definitely it's important. And we can even throw in there, Brand Aubrey, tax-free savings accounts, for example, how do they work, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, so that's important. We'll do that.
I think Kamu is on the money. Yes. I think the issue of taxation is one that needs so much excavation.
Yes.
Pretty much in the same way that we continue to have our conversation.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me, Orbs, correct me if I'm wrong, but your conversations with Dr. Magwegwe are generally about mindset and psychology.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Less so about the mechanics of finance. And that's largely true.
Yeah, correct.
And I get a sense that we will be improving and changing all of that stuff. Because fundamentally, Dr. Frank, if I were to be brave to say that our financial success or our ability to manage our financial matters really stems from our mindset and our psychological reality inside of us. Less so about the things that we can press and push and take this. It's the reason why we do that is more essential?
Absolutely. And we can already see it here, if I may comment on what
Treasure
says. So, for example, Prabhu, we had Treasure saying, you know, he did a degree, did this research, and was finding 1, 2, 3. He was learning about, he's commenting also on banks and obviously their job to lend out money and have this interest income. And he said something very interesting at the end. He said, Prabhu, sometimes you know, but you don't have the time to implement. And you see why it's so important for us to balance the foundation of kind of the psychology, the thinking, the mindset with the doing. Because you may know a lot, but you tell yourself you don't have time. And remember, I shared towards the end of last year that some research that was done, a little bit old research, maybe 5, 6 years old. But it was so interesting where it said the average South African spends a month about 11 minutes on their finances. Now you tell me.
A month.
We're simply talking, going into your bank account, checking your debit orders, if you've got some unit trust investment, checking what's the outstanding balance on my loan, on my credit card, just some interest in your finances. So when you mentally, your mindset says, I don't have the time, you can have all the knowledge, but you won't be able to spend enough time with your finances. So it's important for us to balance the mindset and the doing, and we'll continue, you know, to do that on the show.
Nkunze Mnyama, who is in fact the man who gave us the idea about this reflective conversation,
correct.
You remember?
Yes.
Is on Twitter, says, nice show as always. I'm happy with the reflective show. I'm enjoying the anecdotal stories which buttress the points being deliberated. Nkunze Mnyama. Hey, it's long. Yeah. I want to read it. I want to read it one more time.
That's a big word.
Nice show, as always. I am happy with the reflective show.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying I'm enjoying the anecdotal stories which buttress the points being deliberated.
It's like a poem, bro.
But he does say, this just stuck with me. It can be simple, but not easy.
Yes.
He says, the pseudo oxymoron of this is mind-boggling.
I need to take English lessons.
You know
these simple things, right?
Yeah.
I gave the story beginning of last year.
Yes.
10:50, I get to the ATM on the same day. What does the ATM say? Happy birthday, Frank. You qualify for a loan of 150,000. Right? To bring back the point, does it mean I must get the money? If I don't need it. Banks are in the business of giving out money through loans and they earn interest on it. So it goes back to you as the individual.
It goes back to you as the individual.
They are
not
in
the church.
Yes.
Not the sangoma or your kobela.
No.
Not it's you.
It's me. Do I walk in and get the loan, or do I say I don't? And you know, you spoke about choices, bro.
Yeah.
There's this wonderful thing. We are free to make choices.
Even bad ones.
Even bad ones. We're not free from the consequences of our choices. We are free. We can make any choice we want. We are not free from the consequences of those choices.
You've got to repeat that again. You've got to repeat that again.
Hey, that's my English, bro, Chris.
No, you've got to repeat that again.
We are free to make choices, listeners, but we are not free from the consequences of those choices.
011-883-0702 is the number to dial. We are free to make choices, even bad ones, but we are not free from the consequences of those choices. We are free.
You can make any choice.
To make any choice you want, but we are not free from the consequences of those choices. If anything that I've learned today, that is
everything. Yo, Nkunze Mnyama, did you hear I came up with something?
We are free to make choices, folks.
Yeah.
But we are not free from the consequences of those choices.
Yeah.
I'd like to add a little addendum to that.
Yeah.
That making, not making a choice is also making a choice.
Correct. Yes.
And you are not free from the consequences of not making a choice.
100%, yes.
Because I think one of the things that we've become adept at, very good at, is talking about how bad we feel after something has happened.
Yes.
And then we don't ask ourselves, to what extent was I complicit
in getting here,
in getting to the point that I'm at now? Whether by commission or omission.
Yes.
And what you're saying is that let us not abdicate the responsibility of our role in any consequence that we are a part of. Yeah?
Absolutely.
011-883-0702 is the number to dial. We'd love to take your calls. It's a reflective show on some of the conversations that we've been having. I'd love to talk to Nkunze Mnyama one of these days because he's been very instrumental, very, very loyal
to our show,
and constantly you know, puts across points that are very helpful.
Makes
you know?
You think.
So I'm hoping that he doesn't think that we were laughing at him or making fun of him. I think he's actually far more. Nkunze Mnyama, please signal to me that you understand that we're not trying to play on you here. Give us a call on 011-883-0702. I think you've got a voice note for us there, Brakris. If indeed you do, please let's hear it. And then, of course, let me read you some of the messages that are coming through here. This person says, I even realized clothing accounts interest rate was 20% plus.
Correct, about 22%.
Or higher. So I've paid it off. And now buying clothes cash. I can tell you one thing about that one of clothes.
Yeah.
They've never been able to catch me on that.
Yeah. Really?
I dressed badly. I dressed badly and I'm good at it.
Yeah. It protects you.
It protects me. Yeah. That one I'm safe from the bad. Yeah. I dress badly and I know it and I'm happy about it. So I'm never caught in that nonsense. But it leads me to another issue.
Yes.
Who we hang around with, whom we are trying to impress by the behaviors that we take up.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote me a message. Aisha sent me a message and tells me of her store of a very sad story of some neighbors of hers who moved into a particular suburb. So I'm saying this to you, Dr. Frank, because I can relate to that story.
Yeah.
You come from Kasi.
Yes.
Where you lived a particular way.
Correct.
When times are hard, you can go buy Mautwana.
Yeah.
Malana. You can go buy Mautwana, Malana. You know, my inya inya.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You move to a particular suburb. Yeah. You think you can't buy my inya inya.
Yeah.
As if the people that are in that suburb are going to come and open your port and check what is in. And you start believing that you need to always be eating big, big budget food.
Correct.
You get the credit card from Woolworths because in the suburbs we don't eat my inya inya.
Yeah.
You can't eat Lucky Star there in the suburbs.
Yeah. You must maintain standards.
Yeah, you must maintain standard.
Yeah.
You take your Mazda 323.
323, remember? 323.
You throw it away. You get one of those big, 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 big Mercedes Benzes.
Yeah.
Because you're living in the suburbs. Yeah. Suddenly, you begin to realize how sweet Kasi life was because of the pressures of the suburbs.
Yeah.
So I want you to talk a little bit about peer group pressure.
Yeah.
Who do you hang around with?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Correct.
What are your aspirations?
Yeah.
How are you influencing each other? Because I think relationships are a big part of whether or not we succeed financially or not.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
In fact, you know, you're talking about the peers you hang around with. You know, at Gibbs, for example, in the research I do, we talk about social comparison.
Yeah.
One of the big drivers of what we do with money is comparing ourselves to others that we hang around with. And that drives sometimes what you drive, what you wear, where you live, where you go on holidays. And it might stretch your budget because you are competing with people who may earn more than you, or they may be competing with you. You earn more than them.
Yeah.
So, what we learn from there is a couple of things. I think the first one is to compare. Social comparisons is human nature. We do it all the time. right?
Sure.
Someone you went to school with, they are now this. Yeah. Ooh, okay, maybe I'm a little bit behind, you know, and that sort of thing. So that happens. When
it those guys
comes
that
to
invite
finance,
you for drinks on a Friday.
Yes.
And they've got those black cards.
Yo,
hey, those guys.
Right? And you feel you're
let's
falling
take them
behind.
To Congo. No?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when it comes to finances, it's so important to, yes, accept human nature does have these comparisons. What are you dressing? Is it branded clothes and all that? But really to have that discipline of saying within my budget, this is what I can afford. Really, that's it. You know, keeping up with the Kardashians, keeping up with the Jones is really one of the things that that breaks the bank, that makes you struggle with your finances because you're not chasing your own specific goals.
If I could say that maybe a significant percentage, yeah. I don't want to even
yes.
say what.
A number, but a, yeah.
But a significant yeah. percentage of the mistakes we make financially, I would argue, are connected to wanting to keep up with some
oh,
sort
yeah.
of image.
Absolutely. What we see on TV yeah. shows, what we see our friends driving, drinking,
yeah.
eating.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a big driver. So one needs to accept that and yeah. be on the lookout for it.
And I discovered that it also goes down to your romantic relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, you told us of your anniversary with your wife, some of the challenges
yes.
that you've been through with her.
Yeah.
I personally know that you've been homeless, that you slept in a park on a bench for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah.
And a very large part of why you were able to come out of that quagmire of your life, based on the conversations we've had,
yeah.
Dr. Magwegwe, and I'm not trying to jump into
yeah.
your space.
No, not at all.
I have discovered had to do with the resilience and the commitment and the depth and the non-pretentiousness of your relationship with your wife.
Yeah.
I want you, as we close,
yeah.
to talk a little bit to us about the romantic relationships
yeah.
that we are in and how they relate to our finances.
What a wonderful way to end, because it really brings us to the idea that we looked at in the show a while ago. And it's this idea that every single person has a money personality, has a relationship with money. So you are in a romantic relationship with someone, they have their own relationship with money. In other words, money may mean status, may mean power, may mean sharing, you know, to them, and it might mean security to you. So the polar opposite, the more conflict, you know, in a relationship, because you fundamentally relate, view, and value money differently. So one of the gifts that people in a relationship can give to each other is this idea of doing these money personality, these assessments that tells you your profile is around money means security and power to you, or to someone else, money means status to you. And therefore, when you know that, you start understanding some of those things that you do sometimes even unconsciously around money, because you are driven, you know, just in the way you relate with money, to say, me, I always dressed in branded goods because it shows status.
Yeah.
When I have money,
Pringle
I'm
and Ballantyne.
There you go.
Frosheim shoes.
Yo.
Brentwood.
Hey.
I'm reminded now of
yeah.
Amapinga.
Yes.
Yeah. You know the guy from KwaZulu-Natal
yes.
with the Brentwood shoes.
Aye.
But on a serious note,
yeah.
I think what you're saying
yeah.
is that life is serious.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we need to understand. Remember,
yeah.
we even said, you can do your money personality. You can check your relationship with money. You go to netbankmoneysecrets.co.za and then you can do 15 minutes. And then you'll have a lovely report that comes up and it gives you a sense of your relationship with money. Or you can just Google money personality. There are many free tests online that you can. It's really wonderful. In fact, I got my kids recently,
yeah.
both my daughters,
yeah.
20 and 22,
yeah.
to do it so that they can understand as they're young adults
yes.
how they're spending, what is driving some of that spending. It really is powerful, Braobi.
And the legacy of that kind of familial conversation in the house.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
I mean, I was having a conversation with, I forget now who the conversation was, that part of what sets us up for success financially
yeah.
is the kind of conversation that's taking place
in
the family.
Yes. Yeah.
And at at your home already those conversations are taking place.
Yes.
It's part of the zeitgeist of the family.
Yes.
The general feel of the family. That is absolutely wonderful. I got a message from Inkunzi Mnyama.
Oh, wonderful.
Inkunzi Mnyama says, I was laughing along with you, gentlemen. My contacts on WhatsApp vicariously listen to you, to your show via WhatsApp statuses, as I continuously share with my contacts, loving the show. And then, of course, the other comments coming through, somebody saying that Magwegwe, Dr. Frank Magwegwe, very inspiring gentleman, thanks
thank
to the show.
The kind words.
Somebody else saying, Aubrey, anyone keeping up with the Joneses don't have much ambitions. And that's from and that's from my good friend Nikki Jones.
Oh, okay.
And then somebody
that's a good one.
And says, somebody says, I've never been the type of person that spends a lot of money to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
They must come down to my level, says Karen. Yeah. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Ah, wonderful.
Once again, how do people get in touch with you?
FrankMagwegwe.com and just hit that contact me button. One prescription, please reflect on your finances as we move more and more into 2023.
Much appreciated.